God is so, so, so good. And He's so faithful. It's wonderful to see you here. We're looking forward to getting into the new premises. We've been speaking about it for a while. Maybe sommige van julle dink miskien, ja, wanneer gaan dit dan ooit gebeur? Daar is 'n vertraging of twee wat plaasgevind het. Julle, dis te doen met die registrasie van die naam en sovoorts. 'N Koppel tekentjie wat nie daar sou moes gewees het nie. So we're trusting God that it's going to come through soon. But I trust that you stand with us in agreement. Psalm 138 and verse 8 says that God will perfect that which concerns us. So we know that we're going to get in there at exactly the right time when God wants us to be there. And I picked up more pieces of sponge because in part of the deal, we've got like a fold-up wooden chairs, and at the back of the chairs, there's a little place for you to keep your 9mm or your Bible or your cell phone. This is die werklikheid van die kerk waarin ons onsself bevind. En ek dink daar's 'n hoortjie vir die nagmaal en so. I think, but I was putting the cushions on the chairs and I realized, yeah. So when the folks start coming here, in for in, they're going to start choosing their favorite seats. Because kyk net waar sit julle vanoggend. Ek kan julle waarborg, the majority of you are sitting in the place that you almost always sit. Some people like to sit in a different seat every time, but most of us, we are creatures of habit. So be that as it may, we're looking forward to that, guys. It is coming. We're trusting God for that. And for those of you that weren't here last week, I'd encourage you, please, just if you maybe you've never done it, go onto our social media online on Facebook and just listen to the discussion that we had. It wasn't a message, but we spoke about the transition that this church is going through and the name change that we're going to do and the reasons for that. So we're very excited about that, and we trust that God is just going to help us make the right decisions during this time of transition. So, okay. I was really torn in two about what to share this morning. When I ministered in Cape Town a couple of weeks ago at the Bikers Church on Sunday evening, I spoke about something, and that message, I thought, Lord, you know, I got to hear about a challenge that some of us are going through in the body right now. And I thought, well, you know, I should do that again. That message is really timely. But anyway, I went ahead and I prepared something that God laid on my heart for this morning as well. Even now sitting here, I'm like, Lord, which one? What are we going to do here? So this morning is a fresh message. It's not that one from Cape Town. I think that one from Cape Town is going to have its time. And it's going to have its place, that's for sure. So the title of this morning's message is as follows. And when I give you the title, I can guarantee you that if you're living in South Africa, and if you're earning an income, and if you have children, and if you are part of a family, and if you come to church, you're going to realize that this is true, the statement that I'm going to make. And the statement that I'm going to make is the title of the message. If you've gotten to a place in your life where you've made a decision, Lord, I want to live for Jesus. I want to at least, well, op die minste het jy dan vir jouself gesê, ek wil 'n verandering of twee begin implementeer in my lewe. I want to start making a change or two. If you in that place, the title of this message is going to be real to you, and you're going to be able to say amen. So to warm my little heart, when I give you the title, you must say amen. Is that okay? Okay, you should have said amen there as well. Okay. The struggle is real. Is dit nie so nie? The struggle is real. Ek wens so baie that this Christian walk was just maanskyn en rose. So, what we're going to do this morning, we're going to be real with each other, especially to ourselves, and we're going to be open and honest, and we're going to put our Christian walk on a graph. Now, I'm not somebody that works with PowerPoint all the time. And in the few minutes that I had left to prepare this morning, I tried to put together a two-slide PowerPoint presentation with a graph. You think I could get that right? God, nee, wat mos ie. There's like, I come from French descent, and like, those romantic languages, hoe praat ons baie? Met ons hande. So I'm going to speak with my hands this morning. I'm going to plot for you the graph of Christian growth. So we as Christians, there's, you get your y-axis and your x-axis, or your x-axis and your y-axis. I don't know what, but you get, so on this side is growth. the Christian growth that you experience, and this one is time, the Afloop Fontaine. And you start down here in the corner of my killibuck, he saw. It's good and clean and fresh, tra-la-la. You start there, and your growth on that graph, time and growth as a Christian, is like this, right? Ah, thank you, Jesus. You see, this bevestiging, there's real people in this church. Folks, our growth is not like that. It's not like that. And some of you are nodding and shaking and saying, yeah, Moz, this, why? Because the struggle is real. And this morning's message is so simple and so relevant to where we are at today. And there's powerful, powerful, powerful scriptures that if we allow them, will shift our mind to see how God gets us through these things. That though we struggle, it's not our struggle alone. You're not alone in this thing. How many of you know that we're created to be part of something bigger than ourselves? There's no lone rangers and glory boys in the kingdom of God. Not even Robinson Crusoe. Who's Robinson Crusoe's sidekick was Friday, right? Not even Robinson Crusoe had all his work done by Friday. The struggle was real for him. So he has growth. He has time. And the truth of the matter is, our growth is not like this. Our growth is you start, you're born again, it's all lekker. And then the first person offends you. Something doesn't go right in the body of Christ. Or a prayer doesn't get answered. Or a disaster hits. I had a real, real talk with a brother this morning, this week, who's here this morning. He said that since he gave his life to Jesus, it's been the most difficult, difficult struggle ever. Then you know it's real. Then you know it's real. Because folks, when you're not a threat to the devil, it's going to leave you alone. When he sees that your mind is not being renewed by the word of God, he's not going to attack your mind with arrows of doubt, arrows of fear, arrows of despondency, etc., etc., etc. But when he sees the genius, in Leicester Sonnet, take any seed that you put in the ground. You put in the ground, you water it, and die volgende oggend is daar iets daar sonnet. Only mushrooms. Only mushrooms. And I know you can fry mushrooms in olive oil or coconut oil and season and spice it, but my mensen, there's not much more you can do. A mushroom is just a fungus. It's a fungus. That's what it is. It's lekker. It has some nutritional value. It's a fungus. But we're not looking for mushroom Christianity, isn't it so? We're looking for trees of righteousness, good oaks. Oaks. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, visa wortels deep, deep, deep gaan. And when you give your life to the Lord and things start happening and the seed of the Word of God starts growing in you, while that is happening, folks, sometimes there is no fruit that you see. Hello? Sometimes there's no fruit, but don't underestimate the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that's been planted in you that is doing something when it's mixed with faith. And that mixed with faith thing, in your extra time, study Hebrews 11. And you'll see there how people, I think it's in the book of Hebrews somewhere, where they receive the word, and because it's not mixed with faith, it has to be mixed with faith. And this Christian growth of ours is like this. It starts like this, and then life happens. And life happens, and the devil attacks, and you backslide. You backslide. You backslide. We all backslide. Bible encourages us and said, God is married to the backslider. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So our graph is like this. The struggle is real. So if you hear this morning and your struggle is real, get ready to have these scriptures encourage you and change your life and your mindset concerning these things because the struggle is real. However, these promises from the Word of God will encourage us. I've got 6 scriptures. So hold on to your seat. It's powerful and it's going to transform you. So this message is divided up into 2 parts. The first part speaks about what God does to help us through the struggle. And the second part, we're going to look at what our responsibility is. Because I can assure you that if you're teachable this morning, what's receptive in Afrikaans? Aanvanklik. Onvanklik. Ja, as jy onvanklik is, ek voel sommer slim. As jy onvanklik is, you're going to think, well, that's groovy, baby. It's all just God's responsibility. No. Because faith without works is dead. It's dead. There has to be something that we do. And it's this beautiful relationship where we walk hand in hand with the Lord. And this change comes about in our lives. So, the first part is what God does. And it is huge, folks. If you read it, it's just like, well, God, that's it. You might be tempted to sit back and do Egyptian PT. You know what Egyptian PT is? You just sit and watch. I'm just going to just park off and watch what happens. No, you have a role to play. Everybody say, I have a role to play. And it's not a bread roll with a lack of steak on it. You have a role to play. Okay. First scripture. Man, I love these, eh? So what I've done in my Bible, I've highlighted one of these scriptures and I've made footnotes. I've linked all these other scriptures next to each other. And the first one on this concept that I remembered, I memorized the chapter and verse. I know the address and all the other ones. As I go through the scriptures, I see, that's the same. It's the same concept. God does. I link them all together. So if you want, you can do the same and make you a diligent student of the Word of God. The first one. And I put it in chronological order. So it's very voorkom in die skrif, so it's easy for us to read this morning. Psalm 51 and verse 12. It's Brother David. And he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. So this is a godly prayer. This is a prayer under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In other words, this is God through David, and whoever penned it, it might have been him or a scribe that he had, I'm not sure on this particular psalm, but God gets him to say, make me willing to obey you. There are times when I wish God would just spiritually remove my free will out of my uit my gestel uit. Because if he removes my free will and he just works through me, man, then my walk with God is like, hey, it's a plain sailing. I've got this. But my walk with God is not like that. You sickle. You struggle. It's like, sometimes you feel you take one step forward, two steps back. So it says that he prays and he says, make me able to obey you. What does it say? Make me willing to obey you. And what's the backdrop of this psalm? If ever you get in a place in your life where you realize you want to repent, look how David prays in Psalm 51. Yella. This is where David realizes he had his scene with Obadsam. He was checking out on the roof, and there's the first instance recorded in history of a man falling victim to pornography. And when did it happen? When David was weak, when he was vulnerable, when things weren't lacking between him and the missus. No, in the prime of his life. Mana, watch out. The first example of pornography. The word pornography comes from a root word which means looking at images depicting the activities of whores. As one of the meanings of it. And there is Batsam, and David is aside. And we know the rest. And that's the backdrop of the psalm. And he realizes, he must have realized in himself, I want to do these things, but I can't. Lord, make me able to obey your word. So that's a prayer that we can pray. God, make me. That's like saying, God, change me. God, do what you need to do inside me so that I can just be a man or a woman that is obedient to you, Lord. And he prays like that. That's powerful, Yella. Staying in the book of Psalms. Psalm 65 and verse 4. What joy for those you choose to bring near, those who live in holy courts. What festivities await us inside your holy temple. So there we see again, whom God chooses to bring near. God, choose me and bring me near to you, Lord, who live in holy courts. Jeremiah 32 and verse 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good for them. You know, if you do a deep study of that Hebrew word never, do you know what it means in the Hebrew? It means never. It's deep, ne? 7 years of Bible study. That means never. That means he's never. God's never going to stop doing good for you. Well then, Mozzie, if that's true, if God is not a man that he should lie, how come I'm not seeing that all the time? Well, is it because God's changed, or is it perhaps I've not aligned my heart up with what God is busy doing? I submit to you that it's definitely the latter and not the former, because God is not a man that he should lie. And he says, yeah, I will never stop doing good for them. What a promise. I will never stop doing good for them. And here's the kicker. Ties up with this theme. I will put a desire in their hearts to worship me, and they will never leave me. Now, I know you guys, week in and week out, whether you're busy, whether you're not, whether you've had a short shift or a long shift, you always have a desire to worship the Lord. Every time you come to church on a Sunday, you can't wait for the deep end to get up here and start worshiping. Everything inside of you, all your energy is just geared to worship the Lord all the time, right? Well, dan sê jy baie, baie geestelik, meer geestelik as ek. There are times where I just don't, okay, not on a Sunday. I must admit, after the prayer meeting and samesyn met julle, because ek like julle meer, and julle is just awesome. And there's something happens when people get together. You know, I want to worship the Lord. But there are times in the week at home, when Colette's give me opdrana. No, I'm just kidding. She's really, really amazing. She has an incredible mind. She must have, because she chose me. Okay, Mozzie, stay focused, yeah. Where was I? There are times in the week where the flesh is weak. You're not in this hallelujah happy mood. You're not. The struggle is real. It's like one hit after the next. One hit after the next. And you start battling with this. And it's at times like that where this prayer is, God says, well, this prophecy, I will put a desire in their hearts to worship me. Lord, let it be so. Next scripture. We're on the fourth one along this vein. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Philippians, eh? And I'm certain that God, who? Yes. I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, he will continue his work until he's finally finished. Isn't that an encouraging promise? God who's began the good work in you. When did that good work begin in you? It began where spiritually you became born again. Not when you memorized the scripture, but when you spiritually became born again. For some of us, it was a radical thing. Some of us didn't even feel anything. But the truth of the Word of God says this about you. He says, he will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So that work is going to continue in our lives. That's God's promise. And this is the one that I memorized for the first time along this theme. Philippians 2 and verse 13. In the New King James, it says, it is God who works in you, both to will and to do, according to his good pleasure. The NLT says, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Isn't that encouraging, Stephen? When we don't have the power and we don't have the desire, it says, God is working in us, but to give us the desire and the power. It's one thing when you have the desire and you've got no power. Or you've got the power and you have no desire. But when you've got both, when you've got the desire and the power, and God gives it to you, ladies and gentlemen, dit beteken, daai grafiek kan so lyk. Once you're down here in this dip, you're going to get out of there, you're going to scruff yourself off, you're going to allow God to pick you up by the collar, and then start taking you on your upward curve towards Christian growth and maturity again. So God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. One more scripture, then we're going to go to the second half of our responsibility. Hebrews 13 and verse 21. May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. How many of you know that with God there's no favoritism? Ek weet jare terug en ek en Domerie gestry hieroor. Nie gestry nie, maar net ligtelik bespreek. I'm God's blue out. You know, you are God's best Lydia. There's just No, there are other Lydias, but you are God's best Lydia. Daar sit God se beste Pieter. God's best Leonard. God's best Koenraad. God's best en almal van die res van julle wie se name ek nie ken nie. That's whom God has chosen. Put His Spirit in the combination of who you are. All your warts, all your wrinkles, all your defects that you think are wrong, God's chosen you. And He's placed His Holy Spirit in you. In you. Gives you the desire, gives you the power, and equips you with everything you need for doing His will. So it's not something and that he withholds from somebody who has a sincere desire for growth like this. When God sees the sincerity of your heart, He'll give you what you need. So to recap this section, I'm going to take the and when you make the time to fellowship in the care groups this week, these portions are highlighted out of these scriptures. God will make you willing, and He'll choose to bring you near. He will put a desire in your heart to worship Him. He will continue His work until it's finally finished. He's working in you, giving you the desire and the power. And He will equip you and give you all you need for doing His will. Wow. Wow. So when the struggle is real, that's God's part. And He's doing it even now as we speak. If you're sitting here and this is ministering life to you and it's changing you, that's what God is busy doing you. It is the Word, ladies and gentlemen, that renews our minds. And when we let it travel, that longest distance known to man, from our head to our hearts, and we start living it out, God does His share. Then, what's our point? What's our part? There's more than enough encouragement in these scriptures that God will do His share. What's our responsibility? Well, our responsibility also in Psalm 51, that psalm of repentance that David prays when he asks God, forgive me, Lord. I've messed up, Lord. I've broken covenant with you and I, Lord, and I want that relationship restored. That's why God said of David, he's a man after His own heart. Because hy het nie probeer wegsteek nie soos Saul. He owned up to his stuff. He owned up to his stuff. That's why God could say, this is a man after my own heart. Ladies and gentlemen, when we sin, do you think it catches God by surprise? Do you think Jesus is in heaven? Holy Spirit, come look here. Come look here. Look what Zelda has done again. Sy het niks gedoen nie. Dis 'n voorbeeld. Is dit? They like, no. They know. And His grace is sufficient. And His strength is perfected in our time of weakness. We can't catch God by surprise by the things that we do wrong. Eh? Remember we shared this a couple of weeks ago, that the human being is the only creature that has the ability and the reason to blush. Only humans, we blush. Even our conscience knows to try and cover up our sin with blood. That's why blood rushes to your face. Because there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And sometimes when people are embarrassed and they shower, they blush or whatever. But when you do wrong and you get bust. Years ago, I think it was one of the Leon Schuster movies. They set up this guy. They tricked him. There was a tower that was due to be imploded. They were going to destroy it and build something else in its place. And they rigged it up to collapse. And then they got this guy to do a wiring job of electricity at a distance. The tower was there. And they said to him, you know, do you know, you got your wireman certificate, yes, and everything. You need to wire it accordingly. He says, yeah, no, I got it. They said to him, listen, be very, very, very careful. I'm laughing just seeing that picture in my mind. Be very careful, because if you make a mistake with this wiring, that tower there is going to blow up, it's going to collapse, and it's going to fall. The guy said, no problem, it's easy, it's straightforward, it's at the par drada. You know, my vast knowledge of electricity is nul, by Afrikaans van nul, neutral earth and live. When it comes to three phase, then it's work on my pay grade. It's next level stuff. I've had a buzz bar on a DB board explain itself to me more than once in my life. So I'd say, Schoenmaker, play by your book list. Just, Mozzie, leave it to the guys that can. I know you're willing, you want to score brownie points when the misses, but when it comes to that, goeters. So this guy starts wiring. And they get him to start the wiring job just at the time that this tower is going to be exploded. And as he starts busy with the wiring, he has this tower. And I skrik him in an ander bloedgroep and douche. And we try and rectify our mistake. So what does he do? He pulls the wires apart, thinking the tower is going to... And it's like that. When we get caught, we think that I can just reverse it and undo. Folks, when those words leave your mouth, it can't be unsaid. It can't be unsaid. The mannerism, the spirit, the attitude in which we react with each other can't be undone. What we sow, we will reap. We will reap. So, in that same psalm that David prays, in Psalm 51 and verse 17, he says this, and he knows this, and he says, the sacrifice you desire, God, this is what you want. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken, and in the NLT it says a repentant heart. Some translations say a broken and a contrite spirit. A broken spirit and a contrite heart. This says, you will not reject a broken and a repentant heart, O God. Repentant. Pent means the top. Re means to return. Return to the top. Return to the loftiest ideal of God's morality. Repent. Return to that place with God. This kind of spirit, Lord, this kind of heart, you won't reject. So that's our part. Our part is to come with repentance. And in essence, what we're saying, humility. In nederigheid, come before God. We've looked at the promises. We looked at all of the things that He said He's going to do. Our part is just to come to Him. James 4 and verse 10. It says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor, not shame, not remembrance of the past. Humble yourselves, James 4 and verse 10. Before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor. And that's our responsibility. And then the last scripture pertaining to what our responsibility is from Matthew 11. When we stood at the altar over 28 years ago, we're in our 29th year already now. This was the promise that God gave us at the altar. When Renee was marrying us and leading us through our vows, He got this word for us and gave it to us. And obviously He knew, God knew what was coming. I didn't know. God knew. And Jesus says this in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So folks, there's this beautiful, holy exchange that needs to take place with a burden in our souls and in our hearts that need to take place, where we come to the Lord with our brokenness and our heaviness and say, God, I humble myself before you. I give it to you. But what's interesting about the fact that He says, take my yoke, is that, hey, los ons nie net so nie. What does He do? Folks, He gives us renewed responsibility. A yoke is put on cattle to help them handle the implement that is behind them to make sure the work is done. It's not like, okay, I give it all to the Lord, that's it. You're scot-free. You're on a permanent holiday called life. No. You're in a struggle between good and evil where the struggle is real. That's key. I've never seen this before. My burden, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So God gives us that burden again, folks, to live out what He's called us to do. And I want to summarize this morning. I'm done preaching. I said it's simple. It's simple. This message is twofold. The first is the part and the roles, the role that God plays. And the next is, what do I need to do to receive this from the Lord? I want to reiterate and recap on what He promises He's going to do. And my timing is good. We're at 30 minutes and a couple of seconds of preaching. Taking a summary of those six scriptures, God will make you willing to obey Him. God chooses to bring you near to Him. God will put a desire in your heart to worship Him. God will continue the work that He started until it is finally finished. He'll continue it in you. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. And God will equip you with all you need for doing His will. I want to encourage you this morning, church, if you're at a place where perhaps you've backslidden like fairly recently and it's still troubling you. You might have said to yourself, you know, how many times, Lord, have I made that promise? Or maybe it's the first time you're expanding your sinful career and you've tried something new that you know is wrong. And it's bugging you and plaguing you this morning. I want to tell you this morning, with you, I stand in agreement with you. And we serve notice on the devil in the name of Jesus. And we say, Satan, tot sover en nie meer nie. Because this is what God is busy doing in me. His word is in me. And like a seed that is planted in the ground, the fruit is coming. I haven't arrived yet, but I'm on my way. And God is going to fulfill His promise because He's my Father. He's true. He's real. He's alive. I'm His child. And He's working in my life, devil. And you stop. You stop here. And you in humility come before the Lord and say, God, you promised these things. All I need to do is come to you with my brokenness. My brokenness, my heaviness in my heart, and my humility. So church this morning, if you find yourself in that place, I don't know about you, but I want to grow. I want to end off being a better preacher than when I started. I want to be the kind of pastor that when I wake up in the morning, the devil trembles. I want to be the kind of pastor that one day God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to be the kind of pastor who one day can give a good account to God and say, Lord, this is what I've done with your people for whom you bled. Some of them I didn't like. Some of them I didn't like seeing. Some of them, hulle het my soveel opdrane gegee, Here, en hierdie grys hare wat my gepaard gaan hier so in die hemel is as gevolg van hulle, u weet het, but still, they're your sons and your daughters. I want to be that man of God. And folks, to be able to do that, I have to let God do His share. I have to come before God. And nie as gaan droog maak nie, maar wanneer ek droog maak, I quickly got to come before God in humility and say, God, help me. Help me like this. So folks, if that's you this morning, you're sitting in a place where you want these promises of God to be fulfilled in life, and the struggle is real, but it feels like you've been doing it on your own, or maybe that what you've been doing is just not working, come to God this morning. Let's respond to Jesus' invitation together, shall we? And Jesus' invitation, He says, come to me. All you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So Father, as your children this morning, and you're more than welcome to pray if you want to, you don't have to, it's no obligation, but we come to you this morning, Lord. In the name of Jesus, you are God in heaven and we are here on earth. So we will let our words be few. And Lord, the struggle is real. And we know what the Bible foretells. We know it's not going to get easier, Lord. Anybody who thinks that, who believes that, is looking forward to that is deceived, Lord. We know this is war and it's intense and the struggle is real. every soul here this morning and those listening, watching online, is going through some kind of struggle that is real. This morning we ask, Lord God, that you let that divine exchange take place. We bring our brokenness and our weaknesses and our struggles to you, and we lay it at the foot of the cross this morning, Jesus. And we want you to teach us like you promise you will. Teach us to navigate the struggles and the difficulty with excellency and a godly spirit, Lord, with the joy of the Holy Spirit deep within us, Lord. And even though happiness comes and goes, may the joy be everlasting, Lord, from the rising of the sun till the going down of the same. And Father, teach us. We choose to believe your promises this morning that you'll enable us, Lord God, to have a resounding victory in the end. And we thank you for that. As each person prays, Lord God, see the faith of our hearts this morning and bring about this divine exchange, this godly change, Lord God, where we take your burden that you have for us. And our burdens we give to you. Stuff that we were never created to carry in the first place, Lord, that you help us do that. Each person is going through their own real struggle. And today we start walking in victory like never before. Today we start experiencing breakthrough like never before. We get wisdom like never before. Peace like never before, Lord God, in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. We love you, Lord. Thank you that we could call on you this morning and pray to you in sincerity, Lord. We declare your goodness over our lives this morning. And thank you that even though the struggle is real, we're not alone, Lord God. You will never leave us and never forsake us. You will be with us till the very end, to the praise and glory of your name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen and amen. Thank you for making the time to listen to my but it's real. The struggle is real. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a Jesus-filled week. We love you dearly and pray for you fervently. Take care. God bless. Cheers.